Across the country, folks are listening to A Nerd? Yep, Benjamin Rockwell is back at it again. And now, with a quest of enriching your experience with computers, here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
Tons in store for you this week here on Computer Talk Radio. Listener questions include, Derek, why do gaming's GPUs cost so much even after crypto is no longer big? Isabella asks, is social media really designed to keep you addicted? Ethan, why do tech support calls take forever and solve nothing? And Lisa, her boss just asked for her password. Is that right? I've got other topics as well. Emergency preparedness and thinking about tech needs. Steve Keskin and I are going to talk about dealing with a technophobia of older generations. On the Scam Series, text message job offers part-time hours a day for $2,000 a week. Yeah, that's a scam. Marty talks about the Shox OpenCom 2 UC 2025 update, and that's a nice little headset. And Keith and I are going to talk about my new iPad Air M3. This is sort of a continuation after a week of using it. All of that is on this week's Computer Talk Radio. You can go to the website if you miss any of that. ComputerTalkRadio.com. ComputerTalkRadio.com. The phone number, if you want to reach out to me, of course, you can do that on the website, too. But the phone number is 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373-888. I'll answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Let's dive into the news, and we've got good laws and bad laws that are working their way through. First up, the good news. A bipartisan bill has been introduced into the Senate called the Repair Act, and that's aimed at opening up the diagnostics in all of our cars. The promise of the OBDII or OBD2 connection was great, but car manufacturers haven't been as forthcoming with all of the details we need in order to fix our cars. This legislation adds in things like ensuring we get the info we need, but also ensures that over-the-air updates don't render aftermarket parts inoperable, like the Apple CarPlay add-on that I talked about recently. It also prohibits mandating the usage of any particular brand or manufacturer of tools, parts, or other equipment. And I love this. This is a great, whatever you want to say, effort towards supporting the right to repair that we should naturally have this. And we here at Computer Talk Radio, we're going to be watching this one as it moves forward. Now, let's move on to the bad one. Florida is following the very bad footsteps of Great Britain. A social media bill in the works there with the beautiful name of Social Media Use by Minors is, it's been proposed. And the problem here is that it requires the end-to-end decryption in case law enforcement has a subpoena. Forget freedom of speech or the flip side of, we protect the kids. This comes down to one of my recurring comments that whenever there's a back door for the good guys to get in, it's also an entry point for the bad guys. Encryption is vital to all. It secures all of our transactions. And whenever we start making moves to break that encryption, we allow anyone the opportunity to do evil. I really hope this doesn't pass. That's just an ugly idea. Now, we should all be familiar with the odometer in our cars. You know, you hop in your car and you drive and it tracks the miles that you've traveled. This is a simple process and it's supposed to be accurate, very accurate. This is what we rely upon when we go to trade our cars in. We sell it to other people. We go to buy one. We want to know what the mileage is on the car. Now, there's a new lawsuit in California against Tesla. And it levies accusations that Teslas are falsely adding miles in order to push the warranty expiration closer, earlier, towards us. This lawsuit claims that Tesla is employing, quote, an odometer system that utilizes predictive algorithms, energy consumption metrics, and driver behavior multipliers that manipulate and misrepresent the actual mileage, end quote. This is a scary thought, and it's backed up by other claims out there in the internet. There's a lot of people who are joining into this lawsuit. This is not really turning out to be a good year for Tesla at all. Now, self-checkout has been a problem in many spots, and resistance continues everywhere. Sam's Club is following in the footsteps of the Amazon Fresh or the Amazon Go stores with a new approach that I'm not really fond of. In the Amazon Fresh store, it scans items as they go into the cart. And it's, I've tested this out and I worked with it one visit, and it was kind of cool. But now Sam's Club, they want you to have you open your app or your smartphone up and load their app. And then you scan each of the items as you put them into the cart. And this is a distinct problem if you're shopping off of another app. You've got a list somewhere or whatever. It also is a problem if you have a low battery or you forget your smartphone. Then, after all of that, though, they'll scan your cart with the cameras as you leave. Okay, I get UPC barcoding and all of that. I've worked in the retail industry. It's been a long time, but there are too many people out there that are going to struggle with this and tie up the packed store with frustration as they can't find the right code. It's going to add on to our shopping time. It's going to be just rife for all kinds of different shoplifting and other problems. So this is not a great move whatsoever. Now, Comcast has announced a new plan for a 5-year price lock on their new home internet customers. And this kind of follows along with Verizon's move a couple of weeks ago, where they did a 3-year lock. I didn't talk about that then because it was interesting and there were other news items. This kind of stability is good, but I'm always concerned about these plans. Specifically the cable company plans that they offer out, and they've listed download speeds, great download speeds for really decent prices, but then they hid the upload speeds. I went looking to find out what they'd be, but that was not really up front. This is a concern because they do not match the download speeds. In cable, you'll get something like 1 gig down, but you only get 30 megabit upload. For a lot of people, that actually may not be a problem, but you do need to do your homework. As always, with any kind of different billing system or whatever, there's always going to be other fees and fine print. So if you are switching, or even if you're staying, I want you to do your homework carefully. My local fiber company, they happen to be a far better deal for me than the cable company, for instance. And you want every chance you get to kind of compare up what you can get from all of the different service providers in your area and kind of weigh out your options. And this actually applies, of course, through anything that we're dealing with. As long as you're giving over money, I want you to do the responsible thing and make sure that you're getting what you think you're getting and it is a proper value to you. Last up, so last week, late in the week, there was a whirlwind of news. And what happened was there was an empty folder after a Windows 11 patch came around this month. And there were a lot of different people out there in the industry that were talking about the idea of deleting it. And I wanted to do some more research, so I skipped over that, and I found I was right to do so. This week, Microsoft advised that this is part of a security fix, and people need to leave it alone. Further, if removed, if you've gone forward, you found this folder, you said, oh, that's right, I don't need it. No, you do need it. You need to put it back. This brings it closer, but not to the point of an ages-old scam to delete a specifically named file from your computer, which turned out to be a much-needed file. In this case, yeah, Microsoft is using this to build security. It wasn't really clear at the time that I looked this up, but there is something going on here where they're looking to protect your computer. I want you to take heed. With any system where anyone comes along and tells you, you need to do something like, oh, delete this file. It's not needed. This folder here, you don't need that. Or if the existence of that file, oh, that file, if you find that file, that is a sign of something sinister. Look, I offer this up all the time. If you are not sure about deleting a file or a folder, if this file is suspicious or not, check with me before you take any action. Coming up next, Derek has a question. Why do gaming GPUs cost so much even after crypto is no longer big and driving that demand? That'll be next here on Computer Talk Radio.
Let's talk about on and off.
You mean like light switches?
Yeah, the original user interface device.
And you were there, right?
Hey, I'm not that old.
Yeah, you are. So on and off.
Yeah, only with no humans doing it, like...
But you and I both have our computers on CyberPower UPS systems.
Yeah, so we have power, but there's another on and off.
Oh, right. Online and offline.
You got it, meaning another UPS at the cable modem and VoIP phone and Wi-Fi router.
And even a low-cost standby UPS can handle those. Better, of course, if it has AVR.
Right, so it doesn't have to hit the battery just because the line voltage drops.
Maybe it's a good time to mention the promo that saves $10 to $15. Details are at the CyberPower website.
And maybe you could put it on your website?
Oh, that's already done at ComputerTalkRadio.com.
You know, on and off. You take really good care of your listeners.
Derek had a question. Why do gaming GPUs cost so much even after the crypto mining craze has died down? You can reach out to me at 888-NERD-888. That's 888-637-3888. I will answer your computer questions and your technology concerns. So, why do gaming GPUs cost so much even after the crypto mining craze has died down? And let's start to unpack this. Let's start to talk about this. And I'm going to get a little wonky here for a moment. I'm going to explain kind of what happened back a while back. Everybody was into the idea of mining for cryptocurrency. That's basically going through and trying to find very large prime numbers and things like that. And they were doing a lot of very key mathematical calculations, which GPUs are actually better at. And the reason why they're better at this is because they have thousands of cores in them instead of just a few dozen of them. They also can do something called parallel processing amongst those thousands of cores, whereas a CPU, it can do sort of an approximation of parallel processing, and it does do some of that. But for the most part, it's not on the scale that you need for large amounts of memory bandwidth and doing all of these calculations very quickly. So when we went from mining cryptocurrency over to the newest craze, which is artificial intelligence, all of this AI needs a lot of very simple calculations going along. It's got a lot of different things that it's doing all at once, but most of it is actually on the simpler side as far as calculations. So those thousands of GPUs, CPUs, cores are really working in your favor. So we've moved on and we've moved to this level of AI and machine learning, which is now needing a lot of those GPUs. NVIDIA is going through and they're trying to keep up with all of these demands. As a matter of fact, there was a recent ban on sending some of these GPUs over to China, who wants to use them for DeepSeek. Well, they basically have their own AI over there that they're trying to make better. So there was a lot in regards to this. And that actually continued to keep that pricing high. We also have a lot of different people who still are clamoring for those high-end GPUs, these video cards, whether we're talking about for gamers who do want and they need that extra layer of that realism that they're looking for and so forth. And also creative professionals are still in that same need area, and they're all competing against each other, but also competing against everybody who wants to go into AI. And when we say everybody who wants to go into AI, most of the major corporations have some level of distinct level of research that they're doing into AI as far as how to make their company run better. And this is all clamoring on the promise of AI and what it can do for various companies. And nobody wants to be left behind. You know, we go back in time. We go back 30 years ago. The companies who went into computing at an early point, they found advantages. And the companies that stayed, you know, back in the Stone Ages, technological Stone Ages, and they didn't use a whole lot of computers, well, they found out they were getting left behind. So they had to put a lot of effort into catching up and moving ahead with all of the different things that we use computers for today. So there was a lot there, and a lot of companies are looking at that and saying, hey, AI has come along. We don't want to be left behind. So all the way along, we have seen a lot of these chip shortages, and these are still affecting the supply, and we're going to continue to see it because a lot of these companies, NVIDIA and whoever else, they are looking to make sure that they stabilize the demand that's going on. They have certain manufacturing constraints that are going on, but they also don't want to ramp up manufacturing too fast, too hard, because what happens is they don't want to experience that, okay, everybody's got AI as an interest right now. They're focusing in on that. But what happens 5 years from now or however long from now when they don't need all of these different GPU units? They don't need all of these different things. Will we have a situation where we've ramped up production so fast, so far, so much that all of a sudden we have to sit back and we have to figure out how to trim expenses and we can't do it? Look, manufacturers like NVIDIA and whoever else, they know that people will pay and are paying these prices. And they know that people who want this product are going to go on out and they're going to pay whatever it is for that product that they want, so that they get it, whatever price it is. Unfortunately, we also see situations where there are scalpers and resellers that are out there. They're picking up these different GPU units. They see, oh, hey, there's a new card coming out from the video card manufacturers, and this card has these specs, and we really value these specs. So they'll pick up 100, 500, 1,000, whatever, and then they will resell those, knowing that they have basically eliminated a big chunk of supply, and that makes the demand go even higher. There are still going to be people who are going to go on out and buy that. And NVIDIA just recently released a video card, and they put a manufacturer's suggested retail price on it of $500. But people were buying that for $1,000 or even more, because that was the only way they could get that additional functionality, that additional amount of cores, that additional amount of all of the power that comes from those various cards. And that drove the price up further because, well, just like we see in a lot of these different crazes that people clamor. I mean, I remember way back, we go back a long time ago, and there were the Cabbage Patch dolls. and everybody wanted the particular Cabbage Patch doll that matched their kids, so that it looked like their kid. So blonde hair and blue eyes, or brown hair and green eyes, whatever it was. And they were out there. They were clamoring for that. And there were people who were buying up very certain specifications, knowing that people would pay 2, 3, 4, 5 times as much. We've seen this with a lot of different items. We get the latest gaming consoles out, and people go on out and they will buy that. They'll get their units very early on, and then they'll resell it for a good amount of profit. This happens frequently in the GPU realm, and that's unfortunate. And we also have a situation that adds in even further with this, in that the older models will still be around, and they discontinue these because they are constantly pushing out newer, pricier models. And rather than just selling, continuing to make a bunch of the older models at a decent price, they focus on pushing production on the high-end items, the ones that are going to get them better profit. And of course, they're going to get more money because, yes, the entire industry has marked these up. Look, I will tell you, patience, alternative brands, and watching for restocks that are at manufacturer's suggested retail price can help you avoid paying some of these higher prices, especially some of these artificially inflated prices because of all of these different resellers out there. It's not going to be perfect. It's not going to solve this situation, and it's really something that for at least the foreseeable future, we're not going to have a solution for. And that's unfortunate. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building it yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
The phone number, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373, 888. I will answer your computer questions, your technology concerns, but I will note, while you can call me anytime on that, occasionally I don't answer. That's okay. I want you to leave me a message, and I will get back with you. Keith McDonald joins me now, and Keith, last week we were talking about my new iPad Air M3, and you wanted to know.
Yeah, you've got at least a week plus under your belt with it now. So
a true full week, but not a week's worth of work with it. Hands-on, 40 hours, that kind of stuff. Just kind of rotating the new iPad in place of the old one. And I'm liking it. There are some nice, neat things. Some things which I sit here and I go scratching my head and going, okay, did I really need to upgrade quite yet? And I guess I did,
okay.
But there's always that there's always that concern that sits there, and I know in the long run I had to anyways, But anyways, so diving into it, I will tell you, I am first off, I'm really puzzled. And you and I have talked about this. And initially I thought, okay, the Touch ID up across the top, instead of the, you know, that thumb button. Right. I thought, you know, that's going to work out just fine. And I've grown to actually dislike it a little bit. It's not, I mean, we're talking about just this little small sliver, which reads your fingerprint instead of a big, huge, wide fingerprint, finger-sized push the button. So it doesn't always turn on right away. All right, so fine. That's okay. Other things, I have started to delve into the new Apple Pencil with, of course, the operating system upgrades.
And now, have you mastered all of the aspects of the tips and the pressure and at a certain angle, different key strokes and stuff?
Have I mastered it? No. But have I experienced it and played with it? Oh, yeah.
There's a feel to get.
I will tell you that I am not your typical, you know, pen and paper, paintbrush artiste.
Okay.
But I will tell you that I do love it. I will tell you that it is definitely a step up from the original Pencil. And I forget what this is. Do they call this the Apple, the Pencil Pro? There we go. And I am.
You got one of the good ones.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got the Pencil Pro, and it's got all of those features, and you squeeze it and tap it and all of that. And I like the magnetic charging. That's something that I didn't have before.
And it's a good magnet for clipping on.
Yes, yes. Okay, so I did put it into a case from Urban Armor Gear, and I will be reviewing that case a little bit later on. I don't want to tease anything right now, but it's awesome. I love it.
Oh boy!
But I want to really keep on the hardware here. So as I've worked with it, I'm really fond of a lot of the different things that go along with the handwriting recognition, but even some of the cleanup. It was very interesting because I made a note for myself just using Apple Note or Notes or whatever it is. And I just scribbled there and just wrote out a few different things. And I noticed after I wrote it, it went through and kind of cleaned up my handwriting, which I really liked. One of the other things that I liked was,
goodness knows we need that.
Yeah, definitely. I went into the Photos app and I utilized the new Apple Intelligence for, and I forget the name of what it is for cleaning up the pictures. And it does a feature that's been in Photoshop for ages that's what it's called. It's called cleanup.
Oh, okay.
And I just tapped where I wanted it to go, and I tried to trick it a little bit here and there, but it was absolutely beautiful as far as it just intelligently knew. For instance, I took a picture of myself and I wanted to eliminate some of the different reflections. Like there's a reflection in one of my eyeglasses and some flash reflections over the black of my glasses because black lacquer look to them. And it handled everything beautifully there. I also poked around with this thing called Playground. And that is
Image Playground?
They just call it Playground. I'm sure that's probably what it is.
Oh, it's called Image Playground on the Mac. But okay, tell me more.
Yeah, you just go on in and you just kind of guide AI to it's. It just generates pictures. Yeah, and yes, I've dealt with that kind of thing over in the realm of on the PC, and it was impressive. I was more impressed on the iPad with how fast it was and how it felt like it was doing it locally. It wasn't going off out to the internet and you've got the 20-second, 30-second wait time for it. It provided some very interesting things. So I had a cat cooking in the kitchen with aliens coming down and a city skyline out the window. It was, you know, a few different things like that. It was fun.
Wild.
All in all, I'm thinking I like this. Yeah, mm-hmm. There's going back to the beginning. Yeah, a little bit of reluctance. Not reluctance, just the afterthoughts. Did I make the right decision? And
do you think you did?
I still think I did. Yeah.
Excellent. I said, that's awesome.
As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell.
And I'm Keith M. Seador.
You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hi, this is Benjamin Rockwell. Most of us use digital cameras nowadays, but what do we do with those old pictures and slides in the back of the closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. If you have boxes of old slides, then you know they fade more and more each year. Let Legacy Digital scan them for you and stop the aging process dead in its tracks. You'll get beautiful 10-megapixel digital files, color-corrected and ready for printing. All this is done faster and cheaper than buying a film scanner and doing it yourself. Your files are then burned onto gold archival DVD discs where they will last for generations. Call right now, mention my name, Benjamin Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY. And tell them Benjamin sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
Website computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. That's how you can reach out to us. We are more than happy to answer your computer questions and address all of your technology concerns, whatever they may be. Send me an email there at computertalkradio and I will get back with you. Marty Winston joins me now. And Marty, what do you have for us this week?
Oh, we've talked very recently about Shock's headsets when they brought out their Open Meet 2, an over-the-head headset designed for people to use online meeting.
Yeah.
And I mentioned then that my traditional headset, my favorite of all time, was the Shock's OpenCom 2 UC. Well, it ain't their latest. They've come up with a 2025 update to that, and I finally got one in, and I have a new favorite.
I have it right here. I haven't, I've only tried it on for fit. I haven't actually tested out the audio on it, but it absolutely is feather light as far as any of these headsets go. I love that idea.
And bone conduction. So there's absolutely no blocking of your ear canals. You've got full and awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've heard me on my headset on the phone.
Yes. Yeah, we talk frequently.
And what do you think of the voice quality coming across?
It's very nice. It is, you know, I have heard a number of different headsets over the years, and I pay very close attention, as I'm sure you do. And there are times where I'm talking to someone, and their voice is way back here, and it's in the next room, and it just doesn't work out all that well.
Hello, I'm Kevin with technical support.
How I've met you in person. You don't sound like that.
Right.
I'll tell you that the mic on that, it does sound accurate and nice and crisp and clear, too.
I will even confess.
Yes. And
please, everybody, don't repeat this. I've had calls come in while I was in the bathroom, calls that I had to take.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, with the fan running and sometimes with the end of a flush still there.
Yes.
That sound is hit by the noise canceling. It doesn't come across the call.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and in today's modern day and age, we are we're in meetings all the time, both you and I, but the entire world, we're in meetings, and you have to step away and take take that bio break once in a while. And noise cancellation is a key thing. Definitely.
And by the way, in case anybody wonders, there is a mute button on the mic stalk.
yeah. That should be made clear. Yes, you can still mute it if you're not confident in the noise cancellation.
Now, for the 2025 update to the OpenCom 2 UC, the biggest difference is instead of the old magnetic charging thing that used to, bring it in, fix there, any USB-C will charge it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that goes right in, and no more worried about not having the right cable with you. It also now connects to their app, which is in all the app stores.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the app can now link to give it over the air firmware updates, which didn't used to be the case.
Nice. Okay.
It also lets you tailor the equalization curve.
Mm-hmm.
It has a standard profile. You want to listen to music or deal in normal ways. Or it has a profile that optimizes voice reproduction.
Okay.
So if you're having trouble understanding somebody, if they're having trouble understanding you, it's on your app. Just go and change it.
It's adjusting the frequency response and stuff like that. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You could also do it from the buttons, but nobody is ever going to read manuals to that level of detail. And that's okay.
Hold on. There are only two buttons on this, right? Yeah.
Oh, no. There's a plus and minus button on one stalk.
Side
there's a multi-purpose button on the other side, and there's the mute button on the mic.
Okay. All right. My bad.
All right. And there is no belly button. There is a, do we need an ambulance for you, Ben? Are you okay?
There's no belly button. I'm looking at it. I'm going, well, there's no belly. Okay. All right.
If only you had video on.
And that's why this is radio.
There's a behind your head headband on this. I love it because I can wear hats. Mm-hmm. If it's raining, if it's snowing, I don't have to bare my head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, my hairdo does that all the time anyway. I love it. It always stays on. I've tried over the head and they tend to slip off. This one never goes anywhere. I wear it all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's a carry case, and the carry case has a molded place to tuck the headset away.
Yeah.
And in the combo they sent me, and this is important, that case also carries a really small USB-C dongle.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I was looking for it. Couldn't find it. You had to tell me where this dongle was. I'm like, it's under the Velcro. And then it's in this little pocket hidden away. It doesn't even have any notes on it. But if that's all I can find wrong with this, hey.
I know. And that active part is about the size of a kernel of corn, right?
Yeah. It's small. Yeah.
Now, you plug this into a notebook or desktop or what have you, and now you can link to both from a single headset.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Multi-point pairing, definitely.
Multi-point pairing, yeah. So same headset for online meetings as you use for phone calls or whatever, and still be ready for phone calls or alerts. It's about $200 online.
Very cool. Yeah. And that's from Shox. They used to be called Aftershocks way back in the day.
Name change. If you're not working a time machine, you don't need to know that.
Yes. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Marty Winston. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. Years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and just a normal person. Recently, though, it was clear to me that it was time to upgrade, but I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After searching around for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their willingness to do things the right way.
The site ground salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when a 32-ounce soda would do. These guys know WordPress, Joomla, and regular standard websites. These guys at SiteGround are awesome. SiteGround.com. Site, S-I-T-E, ground.com.
The bad guys are out to get us. They're out to get you, me, and everybody they can. I received a text message. Hi, I'm Sierra from Klarna. Your background and resume have been recommended by multiple online recruitment agencies. Therefore, we would like to offer you a great remote online part-time job to help merchants update their data, increase visibility and bookings, and provide you with free training. Blah, blah, blah. It moves on. You can work anytime and anywhere according to your schedule and earn $200 to $500 a day. The basic salary is $2,000 per week. It's offering for just 60 to 90 minutes a day, I can get $2,000. And there's paid annual leave, maternity leave, paternity leave, other statutory holidays. Ordinary employees have 15 to 20 days of paid annual leave. If you'd like to join us, please contact us via WhatsApp. And they give a phone number there. This is all kinds of just really bizarre, out of the blue stuff. Okay. And it's very nonspecific. Look, we can look through and we can talk about a number of these different things. Your background and resume have been recommended by multiple online recruitment agencies. They don't even specify which one. So that leaves it quite open. So they could have picked this up off of Monster or LinkedIn or wherever else. It doesn't matter where they picked it up from. Because I could post in one place and it just shows up there. But I look, that's already kind of a weird thing. But then a great remote online part-time job. And it's very vague in regards to this, especially since I have a certain set of technology skills that would not lead me towards this kind of job. So if the job is a mismatch here, that should be a warning sign for everybody. They're talking about something that any trained monkey could do. Why are they coming to an IT professional? But this could be said about whatever job you're in. Why are they coming to you? You need to be already thinking in your mind, why are they doing this? And yes, there are people out there that are desperate for money, and they see dollar signs like $200 to $500 a day, $2,000 per week, and all kinds of different benefits that come along with this. And it looks great, but I will tell you, I didn't bother chasing after this. I know this is a scam. You should have figured this out as a scam right all the way along, but I bring it to everybody because there are people out there that are clicking through, or actually in this case, following through and connecting up with these people. They only need a few people to respond for anything like this to be successful. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. This should be a continual phrase that you should be remembering. You should be exercising this in your brain. Why would somebody pay me this much money to work an hour a day? It doesn't make sense whatsoever. Look, the bad guys are going to continue these tricks. They're going to try to lure you in. And the more desperate you are, the more distracted you are, the better of a chance they have with you. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio. So I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country. But many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with theradiofactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, the Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.
Gigabyte, kilobyte, terabyte, megabyte, all this stuff makes my brain megahertz. And now, with a quest of enriching your experience with computers, here's Benjamin Rockwell with Computer Talk Radio.
We are halfway through this week's Computer Talk Radio. The website, computertalkradio.com, computertalkradio.com. The phone number, 888-NERD-888, that's 888-6373-888. And you can reach out to us either location with any of your computer questions, your technology concerns. We Are Radio's broadest look at computers, technology, and how they impact you. And making good on that promise, Steve Keske joins me now. And Steve, I want to pick your brain, and this is something that I kind of ponder on a regular basis, and I see a spread of people, usually in your generation, people who are, even today, I don't want to say technophobic, but I'll say techno-reluctant.
Yeah.
They are very resistant in moving forward into many different directions in regards to technology.
Oh, yeah.
Or even just one of the areas very similar to this. My mother, she at one point in time said Windows 98 is as far as anybody needs to go. Everything else since then, there's no need for any of that. And in a way, she was right. And she didn't actually stick with Windows 98. She progressed on through others because, of course, as you probably are aware, you know, as people buy new computers, they can't stick with the older operating systems.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd still have people running Apple II series computers. We'd have people running DOS and things like that. But from your generation, and my mom was right about your age, so right in that sort of generation, what do you see with, like, your peers and all of that? What would be the key factors you think are resistance points for them?
Well, there's two.
Okay.
Resistance points. One, where they're reluctant because they are using something else for that. For instance, robots.
Yeah.
And that. I also have a contemporary first cousin who still has a rotary phone.
He has a rotary phone. Okay, yes. Now that is interesting because as some of the different local offices for phone systems upgraded in more recent years, they eliminated that out, ability to detect that. So the fact that that they have rotary phone is actually kind of cool in itself.
Oh, yeah.
Kids today, by the way, would never know how to use one.
True. And I asked this particular person, I said, why? And they said, because it does exactly what I want it to do, make a phone call.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of a valid approach.
Perfectly valid approach.
Sure.
You know, why change it if it still works?
Yeah.
You know, I don't need all those apps. I don't need all this and I don't need all that. Why have it if I don't need it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I have another cousin who is semi I say semi-tech.
Okay. Yeah. Semi-tech. Okay. Unpack that one for me.
Unpack that one for you. They have some things that are technologically really nicely advanced, but some things that are not.
Okay.
Their thing was, if I want to look something up, I don't need to go to my phone. I got a computer. I can go over and ask it.
Okay.
You know, that type of I don't need a smartphone. Why do I need a smartphone?
So that's interesting you mentioned that, because yes, there are a number of people out there, and we still keep seeing this. If you want the old fashioned flip phone, then yeah, the major carriers all still carry flip phones. Yeah. Yes, they do carry a wide assortment of smartphones. They've got all kinds of different smartphones. But there are people out there that are still texting using T9, which is something that, you know, you press the number 2 key twice for B, and the I'm doing this from memory. The number 3 key twice for E, and then the number 6 key, I'm thinking off the top of my head, for N. Very, very different reasons for that. Some of them just don't see the need for the smartphone. I will note there are people out there that aren't allowed to have high-tech items. Kevin Mitnick, for instance, a famous hacker who passed away a few years ago. Very, very famous for that. Along the way, he finally got the courts to allow him on his, you know, post-prison release to actually have a phone. But he couldn't have a smartphone. He had to have one of those little flip phones.
Little flip phones, yeah.
And, you know, he laughed at that, scoffed at the idea, because the span of time that he was away from tech was great enough so that even if he that just things had changed so much, he'd have to learn so much.
Yeah,
that it was ridiculous for them to even stop him from doing that.
Yeah, there is a lot of reasons for going with tech and not going with tech. I mean, for my generation, I'm a really heavy techie person.
Well, yeah, and there's reasoning behind that, of course. You know,
behind it. But I've also watched all of the tech coming around and developing and
up. Yeah, yeah.
And because of that, I embrace tech up to a point. And my point is, I don't like that because it gets too easy for somebody to corrupt it.
Okay.
In this order.
So what are tech directions you think are good? And what are things which you are reluctant to go into?
Well, I'm not necessarily reluctant to go into any one area. I want, shall we say, I want the areas of technology to realize that there are a lot of bad people out there that could abuse it.
Okay.
So you want to protect it from them.
Okay.
Not
fair enough. Yeah.
From them, you know, that kind of a deal. And as far as technology is concerned,
okay.
That's my big problem with tech, is that they'll come out and they'll say, well, I'm not responsible for how they use it. Yes. And to a certain extent you are, 'cause you developed that technology. So you've got to, you know, balance that out so that people understand what they're getting into. You know, I don't think anybody has sat down with a teenager and explained that what you're getting into when you get into, you know,
the internet and all of the different areas out there. Yeah, there are some scary places out there. And I totally get that. But for technology, thinking to the future, you and I have spoken before. I think you mentioned you have some kind of a Roomba kind of robot vacuum in your home. Do you? And I know you've got a smartphone. Would you go with the idea of some kind of true robot in your home? Would you feel comfortable with that?
Depends, but I probably could and would.
Okay. See, I don't think most of your generation would. I don't even know that. I don't even know that half of my generation would.
I know people in your generation that wouldn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all in what the functionality is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's, you know, what use am I going to use it for?
Sure.
If I'm not going to use most of its functionality, no, I probably would pass it up.
Okay. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. That's Steve Keske. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. You have a couple of those new carbon open frame racks from CyberPower, right?
Yeah, I love them. I configured a 25U to 40 inches deep, about twice as deep as a regular rack, and put more than a dozen peripherals in it.
You know, I saw your article about it. I can't believe it's not clutter.
And my 45U carbon rack, that's also 40 inches deep, will hold a ton of networking and control systems, the network video recorder.
Holy screwdriver, rack man!
You're getting one of their gorgeous enclosed racks soon.
Oh yeah, the 24U. Bigger than their wall mount carbon racks, but smaller than their tall boy.
Did you see what's happening with carbon on the CyberPower website?
Oh yeah, the promo, 10% off all their racks and rack accessories through the end of September. I put a link up at computertalkradio.com. computertalkradio.com. Ethan's question, why do tech support calls take forever and often solve nothing? We'll be addressing that here in just a moment, but the phone number, 888-NERD, 888, that's 888-6373, 888. You can call that anytime. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will get back with you, I assure you. I will address your computer questions and your technology concerns. So Ethan's question, why do tech support calls take forever and often solve nothing? I will tell you, I go through this, and this is actually, I'm going to extend this outside of tech support for just a moment by thinking about this from the standpoint of you call an airline, you call the local fast food restaurant, you call wherever. All of these different companies have laid in a lower priority on answering the phone and being accurate and giving good information. I'll go back years ago. I was working at Radio Shack. That should tell you already how long ago it was, but it's actually a little bit further back. It was before I even got married, which was a long time ago, and yet seems like yesterday. Anyways, I was there, and my boss said, look, we're looking to answer the phone ideally within three rings. Five rings is allowable, but you've got to try to do it within three rings. We want to let people know we're here. We want to be helpful. We want to be supportive of our customers. That wasn't a company standard. That was a store standard. And we did that. We wanted to make people feel welcome at Radio Shack. And over the years, all of these industries used to be like that. The call answer time was a key figure. And I've worked places where call answer time continued to be very low. We would hop on those phones right away as fast as we could. And that's dropped by the wayside. One of the things that has come along is outsourcing. And outsourcing support is a priority of cost cutting. A lot of companies out there are looking for cheap labor forces that will at least deal with the basic items. They follow very rigid scripts. But when they follow those basic items, they actually limit the amount of actual troubleshooting. I've been on tech support calls where they've said, well, we want to walk you through restarting your computer. Okay, I'm an IT professional. I've been in the IT field for over 30 years. I have already restarted my computer multiple times. I looked up this, I looked up that, I looked up this, I looked up that. I responded to this particular item. This is something that is way outside of my realm. Well, we'd still like you to restart your computer. No, I've already done that. All right, fine. I'll follow this, and I go through, and this is something that I realize they have very strict scripts that they put together, and they've said, we're going to do this, then this, then this, then this, and then if that doesn't fix it, then we'll go to the next level, and that's usually a tier two or a tier three technical support. Most of the times when I'm calling tech support, it actually is a tier three that I'm going to wind up with, and I work towards getting to that. Now, we've had other evolving items, chatbots, the new level of AI chatbots. They're actually making things a bit worse because they're automated systems that don't necessarily track what you're doing, and they make you jump through a number of hoops before you connect to a real person who's going to walk you through that same script again. So those scripts are given to the chatbots. Those chatbots are already very familiar with these different things because the script has been loaded in. And they understand, okay, we have to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and work through that list. We also have arrived at a point in time where they are seeking far more to do customer retention over solving problems. And this is all about keeping you as a customer. It's all about that money bottom line than actually fixing an issue. And they will go through a number of different things that they look to make you at least happy. And sometimes the happiness is only going to come from solving your problem. That's on your side. But the happiness on their side is getting more money out of you. And this is kind of a really rough area that a lot of companies have lost track of where they need to be. All right. If they have this one little minor problem, it's their problem. It's not really ours. No, all of the problems are the company's. But that's just how it works. This is just how we've evolved. Customer service is a lower priority than customer retention. So, and I don't know how we solve that. And I will point out that even if you do get some technical staff, you think you're dealing with somebody who is in tech support, the first people you're going to talk to often lack really deep knowledge and expertise on what they're fixing. They will want to walk you through a lot of different things and escalation on up to somebody who really knows what's going on is generally very slow. It's going to vary depending on companies. Some companies do go through and they put some fairly experienced people on the lines. Other companies, the only time you're going to get through to that next level of tech support is by saying, look, I've already done this. I've already done that. And we need to go through and we need to find a better approach to this. I understand you are working off of a script, and that's okay. My problem is going to be a little bit more outside of this because of, and this is where it gets tricky, you need to apply logic because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. I will tell you the best way when you're dealing with tech support, the best way to get to that next level is by being very kind to the person who's there. They are a gatekeeper. And I've talked about this, and I will talk about this someday on a more grand scale about how to move forward through tech support. But kindness, killing them with kindness is the best way to get escalated. If you start screaming and you go, look, you don't know what you're talking about. You can't handle this. You're just incompetent, unhelpful, blah, blah, blah. They're going to lock you in because they are a gatekeeper. You say, look, hey, I understand you've got to work off of a script. My problem is beyond a script because of this, that, what the other thing. Then they're more likely to understand. But you have to really force them to think about the logic and the experience that you're going through. I will tell you, one of the best things to do if you're trying to do tech support is to look at all of the different forums that are out there, all of the community forums, whether we're talking Reddit or Stack Overflow or the official community bulletin board system forum that they've got going for that particular company. Those are going to yield you a lot better solutions, faster solutions than most of the official support lines. I will tell you that I move through and I will Google my experience, whatever it is. It's a specific error message. It's a specific framing of how I'm experiencing this problem. And I will enter in a sentence that gives me just enough, puts in just enough so that I'm going in the right direction. But it takes some discipline. It's something that we've referred to for years as Google foo, which is just knowing how to leverage Google to get exactly what you're looking for. I'm going to tell you that a lot of the information online is going to help you shortcut some of those. Once you've gone through, once you've laid out, hey, I can't find anything online, that is going to be a better item for you when you start to hit that tech support line. Knowing where to look and knowing how to escalate effectively is going to save you hours of frustration when dealing with tech support. It's just my experience. 30 plus years of doing tech support from this side of the fence. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Micro Center, home to all kinds of electronics and computer items, has over 20 locations across the country, and it's also available at microcenter.com. This is Benjamin Rockwell of Computer Talk Radio, and I live just a couple of miles away from my local Micro Center, and I've been shopping there for years. From Apple to Windows, they've got what you need. CPUs, got them. Screwdrivers and other tools, yep. Cables, televisions, scanners, projectors, cameras, they have it all. Micro Center is a place which fills your electronic needs. What are you looking for? Media centers, monitors, mice, MP3 players, media, modems, motherboards, memory? Those are just the M's. They aren't regional, but spread across our great land from Virginia to California. Each one is service and repair, in-store clinics, and business services, too. MicroCenter.com is their online store, a place where you can get your regular online ordering needs met. From the hobbyist to the professional, the brand name, or building yourself, MicroCenter is your resource. Check out MicroCenter.com today. MicroCenter.com.
Phone number 888-NERD-888. That's 888-6373. 888. I lived in Southern California for 50 years. It's the United States' second home to earthquakes. If you didn't know, Alaska is actually the first. We think about California, oh, an earthquake is going to cause it to all fall into the sea, which is, well, that's another bit of craziness. We all have to be prepared all the time. And no matter where you live, there's some natural disaster that's awaiting its chance to be a thorn in your side. We have seen storms across the country. We have seen wildfires that have come along. And there's so many different disasters that I really don't want to spend a lot of time on that, thinking about that. I want to think about preparation. And the website ready.gov, that's a government website, ready.gov/kit has a basic kit that we should have on hand. And hang tight through this because I'm going to add some more items onto this. Why? Because they're tech items And this is a tech show. All right, let's start off with the simple items. Water, 1 gallon of water per person per day for at least 3 days for drinking, for sanitation purposes, and so forth. Food, at least a 3-day supply of non-perishable food. Manual can opener for food. First aid kit, a whistle to signal for help. Dust mask to help filter contaminated air and plastic sheeting and duct tape to shelter in place if you have to. Moist towelettes, garbage bags, plastic ties for personal sanitation. A wrench and pliers so you can turn off utilities. And this one's a big one, local maps, because you know what? You may not be able to rely upon things like Google Maps or Apple Maps after a disaster hits. You need to know what's in your area. You need to understand a lot more of the city that you live in, or town, or the rural countryside. So I promised tech, and that's really where I want to focus the rest of this on. And first and foremost, a battery-powered or hand-crank radio, especially one that has the weather alerts on it. So an NOAA weather radio with tone alert, and make sure you have extra batteries on hand for all of that. See, these are important items here. This concept of radio allows you to hear news reports. It allows you to keep informed about where to go for more help and so much more. We used to think about we would just turn on the TV if we still had power, but television these days is no longer broadcast anything like what we used to have. Yes, there are some digital channels out there, and yes, there is still broadcast, but it is all but gone now for television. So we rely upon the radio, and the radio is a far closer item. It's going to be far more focalized, far more local than a lot of these big, huge networks that are still out there. And some of the different channels that are still broadcasting are doing things like, I don't know, the Home Shopping Network and things like that. They're just filling time, hoping to get in whatever viewers are out there. Of course, you have to have flashlight and batteries. And this should be a no-brainer. I mean, we do have the newer ability to have LED bulbs and to find your way around whatever happens. And that's an amazing improvement over the old days when we had the big, huge, massive D-cell flashlight. And the batteries would run dry in an hour or so. I mean, yes, we do have the flashlights that are on our phones. But do you really want to run down your cell phone when you've got all kinds of different concerns about how you're going to charge this anytime soon? Yes, I do carry around a flashlight. This flashlight that I'm holding in my hand right now, it is a Sofern SC33, whatever it is. And this is powered by a lithium-ion rechargeable battery. It's a big, huge flashlight as far as power goes, as far as the output of the light. But I'll tell you, we have to have standard battery flashlights around because we don't know how we're going to be able to recharge this very flashlight that I have in my hand. Of course, we do need to make sure that we have the charging cables and we have chargers available. I would suggest an inverter or a solar charger. And yeah, we've talked about solar chargers in the past, and they're getting better. And we can carry around spare batteries, and our cars are coming with inverters. But the idea of a solar charger is really an ideal one. And then I'm going to throw in one more. And this one is something that I've been saying I'm going to look into this for a long time, and I really need to do this, and I need to do the research for this. There's a lot of learning, a lot of research, there's the equipment, but it's something that is really important after any kind of disaster. I will tell you, we can hope to rely on our cell phones if something bad happens, but we shouldn't. Ham radio and a ham radio license is something that has been around for the longest time. Yes, it's a little bit old-fashioned, And yes, to some extent, it's a hobby. And I'm not saying you have to go deep diving into this. I have no plans on doing the deep dive where I set up a big, huge, you know, 15-story tower over my house that will allow me to speak to somebody off in the Philippines just because I didn't want to be a pen pal with them or whatever. Look, this has Nerd Factor written all over it, and I know that. But I'm planning on doing this, so I will be the one who's laughing when natural disaster hits. Being prepared is so important, and we have to be thinking about all of the different necessities of life. We have to be thinking about how we're going to survive, how we're going to communicate, how we're going to be able to get around if something goes wrong. These items are so crucial, and I encourage you to take a moment to think through, what do I need if it all goes haywire? If I have an earthquake happen, if we get a massive tornado series rolling through my area, a hurricane hits, or whatever it is, you need to be prepared. And all of these different things that I mentioned, plan for more. Plan for friends, plan for neighbors, plan, of course, for yourself. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment.
Hey guys, this is Benny Rockwell. Most of us use video cameras nowadays, but what about those old movie films in the back of your closet? Well, let me tell you about Legacy Digital Productions. They specialize in taking your old memories on film, videotape, and slides and digitizing them to DVDs. Imagine Grandpa's old 8mm and 16mm films that are just sitting in a box getting old and fading away. Legacy Digital will clean and recondition those films, capture them digitally frame by frame, and then produce beautiful DVDs of your precious memories on long-lasting, archive-quality discs. They don't use a projector, and your films can't be damaged in the process, the best available for families like yours. The final results are gorgeous. What better way to preserve those precious memories for future generations? Call right now, mention my name, Benny Rockwell, and receive a 30% discount on your order. Call toll-free 1-866-2-LEGACY. That's 1-866-2-LEGACY, 1-866-253-4229. And tell them Benny sent you. Your memories are priceless, so call 866-2-LEGACY now.
This is Benjamin Rockwell, and now it's time to get down to business. This is where we talk about computers, the workplace, and how we deal with all of the different things that come up. Lisa reached out to me. So my boss just asked the whole team to hand over our network passwords. That can't be normal, right? What's the deal? What should I do? All right, so this is like your landlord asking for a spare key to your apartment or your house. Quote, just in case, end quote. Except in this case, it's really your digital space that's at risk. It's not your couch, your fridge, your television. Handing over your network security password is a massive red flag. I mean, unless you really want to be the fall guy when something goes wrong, I would say you need to think twice before even complying. First off, no, this isn't normal. This is not a standard practice. No IT policy that I've ever dealt with, that I've ever read, that I've ever written would ever require employees to hand over their personal credentials. To give you an idea, I had to go through at one point. I worked at a company and we had someone leave that was very high level as far as IT access. And what we did was we went to everybody in all of the offices and we reset their passwords. And we had to do this in very quick order. And what I did was I took people up to a specific computer and I said, we're going to change your password, And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in front of the keyboard and I'm going to step across the room. I'm going to let you change the password to something brand new, something that nobody would ever guess. It needs to be a strong password. And I went through and I described out all of the different things. And the reason for that was I didn't want their password. I didn't want to know their password. I never want to know anybody's password. If I have ever asked anybody for their password, I've even said, when I'm done with your computer, we're going to go ahead and we're going to reset your password. So it's a brand new password that you've never used before. The password that we use, especially in a business environment, has a certain level of access to it. And it may be access that other people don't have. It is access to not only our work files, but our personally specific work files. It could be files that you've downloaded that have to do with your HR dealings, that have to do with different things where you're going to be accountable for that if somebody comes along and messes with it. Businesses are all set up. They have specific access for different people. And some of that access is controlled access. And we don't go around. Employees do not share their passwords. They should never share their passwords like some people have been known to share Netflix accounts or stuff like that. This is as important as the PIN code on your ATM. Now, in Lisa's case, okay, you can ask for clarification. You can be polite about it, of course, but you need to be firm about this. You need to understand what's going on, because this is a huge security risk. You need to know why it's needed. You need to know who's going to have access. You need to understand what is going on, and it needs to be explained. So many different industries have different data protection laws, and we're talking about anything from GDPR to HIPAA to whatever else that's out there. In the aerospace industry, there are many different layers of access that have been given out, and that's just one industry. We talk about financial industries. We talk about, you name it, every different industry, there are secrets for the company, and some of those secrets you may be privy to that your boss shouldn't be privy to. So you need to understand there's compliance issues, there's legal issues, and if anything goes wrong, a data breach, who's going to be blamed for this? You are, because you allowed access to your account. Look, this is always awkward. Whenever we come across something like this, and this is not an isolated incident, I will tell you that people do ask for this, and it's usually with malice aforethought. They are thinking about doing something bad. Look, if you have concerns, and you should, this is something that you need to take up with IT. You need to take it up with, perhaps you might have a compliance division or compliance person, and maybe even human resources, because this is risky. And I do get it. Sometimes non-tech bosses, they don't understand the danger of this. If you're being pressured, if you are being pushed to do this, you need to document everything. You need to print out all of those emails, any requests, any discussions, so that you're not held responsible later. At the same time, I do have one more thing that you can do, and it's not something that we like to do. We don't like to think about this. I would polish up my resume. I would start getting ready, because there's disaster that could be coming if this isn't resolved clearly, correctly, and swiftly. This is just all kinds of damage and disaster waiting to happen. You need to protect yourself. You do need to be professional about it. You need to push back professionally. Maybe come up with alternative ideas for accessing certain things if that's what they're looking for. But asking for passwords from the whole team, that's not right. If something goes wrong, the blame never lands on the person who asked for the password. It lands on the person who gave the password over. This is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. I'll be back with more in just a moment. years ago, I found a web hosting company that fit my needs as a computer nerd, as a radio show host, and, well, a normal person. Recently, though, it became clear to me that it was time to upgrade. I had a choice between my old plan and the new one at 7 times the cost. It was that awkward point where I could choose between a sip of water or being dunked in a pool. I searched around, comparing the many options for someone like me. After looking for 3 weeks, there it was, SiteGround. In proper fashion, I tested their customer service, their knowledge, and their care, their willingness to do things the right way. The SiteGround salesman made sure that I didn't overbuy and get a 50-gallon bucket when all I needed was a 1-gallon bucket. The folks at SiteGround know WordPress, Joomla, and more. SiteGround.com, S-I-T-E, ground.com for your web hosting needs. SiteGround. Isabella reached out to me, and she had a big question here. Is social media really designed to make us addicted? And the answer is plain and simple and easy. Yes! Yes, it is! Look, if it feels like you're checking your phone way too often, that is not an accident. Social media, and actually everything out there these days, everybody realizes that they want to draw us in. They want to get us hooked on whatever their product is. And yes, I can take the aside of Facebook. We actually are the product. We are the target. That's why it's free. Anything that's free, you have to question, are you the product in that equation there? And the answer is usually yes. See, all of these different platforms, these social media platforms, they are seeking to maximize engagement. They want you to be doom scrolling. They want you to be spending hours on end. And they take a lot of note as to every single click that you do, every single little tap, every single little interaction that you do. They've got all kinds of different algorithms to analyze you, and they want to keep you coming back. So they've added in a number of different features over the time. Infinite scrolling and notifications are just a couple of items that are designed to give us that little dopamine hit to keep us coming back and saying, oh, hey, I really love Facebook. I really love Instagram. I really love whatever it is that it is out there. They want us to keep coming back. Even Google. Early on, Google was designed to be very simple. You type it in a question and then you would get an answer back. Yes, they've expanded that. They've thrown in all of these different ads, and that is how they've made money. The more time you spend on any given platform, whether it's a search engine or social media or whatever else it is, the more ads they can show you. And we're still seeing a lot of ads popping up in very strange locations. I talked recently about how one of the car manufacturers had a little ad for extended warranties. Like, really? And we start to see ads. We're seeing these pre-roll ads before we get to watch the movie that was supposed to be without any advertisements whatsoever. And this is all driven. They say you can handle an extra 20 seconds before watching the TV show or whatever. Look, you can set your own usage limits. You can set things up so that you can see this grayscale instead of color. That may help reduce your compulsive checking. But a lot of this is going to be a matter of you and me and everybody else really starting to focus on reducing the doom scrolling, trying to break whatever these tech addictions are that are coming at us. As for now, this is Benjamin Rockwell. You're listening to Computer Talk Radio. We'll catch you next week.
Let me tell you about The Radio Factory, an exciting new venue for talk radio. It's the internet, the wave of the present. My name is Benjamin Rockwell, and I'm the host of a syndicated radio program, Computer Talk Radio, so I know the internet is here and now. Many of the hosts at theradiofactory.com have their own podcasts or radio shows across the country, but many people like the comfort of listening to their own special radio show at a specific time and day, much like we watch live television. The internet, as you're probably aware, is a powerful tool that allows The Radio Factory to deliver unique programming with far more variety than the windbags who are simply about contriving up viewpoints to get you riled up. Additionally, you'll find that many of the programs are shorter, giving more information in less time. Stick with TheRadioFactory.com and see how it evolves to keep you entertained, interested, informed, and above all, intelligent. After all, The Radio Factory motto is building your intelligence one talk show at a time. TheRadioFactory.com.